worldwide on the Golf Club Network. It's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And good day to you. You're in the clubhouse. Welcome to February 9th, the live show from, well, of course I'm live, 35th Annual Hawaii Pro Open. Defending champ Junwon Park is in the lead. He shot a 65, very benign conditions like they are this morning. And this Hawaii Pro Open, the 35th, created by Honda founder Shoichiro Honda to promote international goodwill and bring golfers from east and west together. Wanted to give Hawaii golfers an opportunity to see competition at the highest level. Today, about half of the field come from the PGA Japan Tour, and many, of course, from Hawaii, as well as a lot of guys coming in from the West Coast. It's a great field. I'm really excited. This is the first Hawaii major international field, approximately 176 golfers, Hawaii, Japan, mainland U.S., Korea, of course, Canada as well. All the flags are flying. It's really exciting to see what's happened here in Hawaii. The globalization of golf really started a long time ago, and I see Mr. Honda was such a visionary in creating this event to bring the two different cultures and many different cultures together and playing golf and spreading goodwill. It's wonderful. There was earlier in the week, the Hawaii Pro Open Pro-Am promoting international goodwill, an 18-hole Pro-Am event that all the money from the Pro-Am went to Rainbow for Japan Kids. It's a project that brings students who suffered through the earthquake and the tsunami in Japan to Hawaii for physical and emotional relief and recovery, because just because it happened over a year ago doesn't mean anyone has completely recovered from that experience. All right, let's get to the action, the golf, and we're going to bring in Guy Yamamoto, the operations manager here at the Hawaii Pro Open, the Hawaii Pro Country Club. Good to see you, Guy. It's always nice to have you on the show.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning. And I look at this leaderboard, and I am so impressed with TJ Kua, one of our youngsters, Gregory Meyer, one of our oldsters, David Ishii, John Ellis, former champ, Nick Mason, always knocking on the door. I mean, Nick has come so close so many times. He reminds me of Brant Snedeker, who's been, you know, T2 this year, and now he's he's tied for the lead going into a Ted Potter, the Saturday round at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. So what do you think when you look at this leaderboard?
We have a lot of old-time favorites and some new young blood, so to speak. And I believe that, like you had mentioned, like Nick knocking on the door. I know Nick's been working on his swing and doing some swing changes, so it's nice to see that he played well, and I think that helps his swing change. You know, nothing like getting in quality competition time.
Confidence.
Absolutely.
It's all about confidence. And you can put what you've been practicing into competition, and then it works for you. That confidence, it just leads. But he came so close that one year coming down 17, and he was defeated. Just tell me about that.
I believe Nick made a 5, and the other gentleman made, the eventual champion made a 3.
3 on that particular hole, and that just switched everything around, right?
That was when Mr. Tani won, Akinori Tani from Japan.
From Japan, yeah.
In one hole, yeah, things just went from first to second and second to first, and all of a sudden we're like, uh-oh. the leaderboard just, flipped instantly.
Yeah, what is it about Pearl Country Club that is challenging for the golfers?
Well, we normally have that trade wind, blowing right down the mountain, but also during the Pearl Open, we have the rough grown longer, and to our regular patrons, thank you for enduring the weeks leading up to the golf tournament. They have to look for their golf ball and look extra carefully.
Does that affect the pace of play?
It does just a little.
That's a huge issue, of course, the USGA, the initiatives to promote the game by making it a quicker-paced event. I'm interested on your thoughts on that maybe a little bit later in the show.
Okay,
but,
sure.
But if you want, if anything comes to mind, just jump right in.
Okay. The golf course is in great shape. Howard and our entire grounds crew has worked really hard, and so has, you know, all the other employees to get everything ready, spruce up the place for our guests. And I believe Mr. Honda and also Mr. Ogata, who passed away this past May, they're looking down on the golf tournament with a big smile, and the weather's great. Knock on wood, everything will continue.
It's fantastic. The trade winds are not blowing. The leaves on these palms are absolutely still. You haven't said anything about climbing this course, which I'm surprised. This course goes from almost just above sea level and just goes right up the hill.
I would say maybe 600 feet.
Okay. So are these guys using golf carts?
The contestants, each foursome has a pair of golf carts, and it's their option. But there are some very fit golfers that are walking the course with their caddies. And it's a tough walk because there's some holes where I would say it's maybe, 70 yards uphill to the next tee, at least.
I mean, this could be like a Wahoo Country Club. You could, it's kind of, it's not as severe,
not
but
as
it
severe.
Has that same sense.
Yeah. And
the up and downs that you have to go through.
And
why do you let them use golf carts?
Well, the golf course is pretty much set up for riding, on those certain distances that we have to walk, and
you want to move things along.
Yeah, we want to move things along. We have a field that's larger than the Sony Open. You know, for this time of year, we have 176 golfers, where I believe Sony has 144.
That's the general field, yeah.
So
144 on the.
Especially in the winter, days are shorter. And if the weather goes a little sour, it's tough on the field, tough on the committee to make sure we get everybody in. So,
yeah. And do you have sponsor exemptions for this?
We do. Yes, we do.
Who gets a sponsor exemption to play in the Hawaii Pro Open?
Sponsor exemptions are given either through a sponsor's request or player's request based on their resume. We have golfers that have just turn pro, so they don't have a professional record, so to speak, but they'll submit their perhaps collegiate career or their.
So they can submit. They can submit to.
Absolutely.
Oh, really? And then you review those requests.
They go through one of our tournament chairmen, David Ishii, and David looks at them and says yay or nay. And I think David, being a consummate golf professional, because. Some of the kids want to get in, the high school kids. They have good resumes, but he also feels like that's part of their growth, so to speak.
I saw that face you made. Are you saying they can't necessarily get what they want, so they're going to have to strive and work through that disappointment, and that makes them stronger?
Perhaps, but I think, there's an air of uncertainty. You go to a qualifier, you have to play well. And it's to benefit their future golf careers. And so, like, on Tuesday's qualifier, our medalist 67 was Kyosuke Hara, who's a freshman at Wanala High School. And a lot of the kids who practice out here and also the ones that play at other junior golf programs were not given exemptions, even though they have very good resumes for what they've done so far in their careers. But this is just another stepping stone, another step towards getting better. And, David feels that going to a qualifier is part of learning how to play golf.
Exactly.
Which you'll do in your career sooner or later.
Just because you know somebody doesn't mean that you're going to get a sponsor exemption.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it's really important. You can't just give a child, even though they've been around. Let's say that on Oahu, everybody knows the kid. Nicole Sakamoto worked her way up, and now here she is in the field, and it's exciting to see her. How many female golfers do you have playing?
We had two females that were exempt. and I believe on Tuesday, three more qualified. So we have a total of five in the field.
Five in the field of 176.
Correct.
But you have to earn your way on, except for the two exemptions. Why did we give two sponsor exemptions?
We gave one. Well, there weren't sponsor exemptions, but I believe one was Nicole Sakamoto based on her playing record. And
Emmy, excellent.
And Emmy Koga, who earned her way previously. So,
excellent. Excellent to see. That's great. We're going to take a really quick break because we want to thank our sponsors who make this show possible.
Great.
The Golf Club, sponsored by Poipu Bay Golf Course. 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. And by Princeville's Prince Course, magnificent by nature. Completely renovated greens, bunkers, and clubhouse. The Prince Course is offering Kama'aina unlimited Saturday and Sunday play for just $99. Call 826-5001. Princeville's Prince Course.
We're back, and we're coming to you from the 2013 Hawaii Pearl Open. It is a beautiful day. I don't think we've got any rain in the forecast. Maybe in the afternoon. Did it come down a little bit yesterday afternoon?
No, we had great weather right up to the end.
Fabulous, huh?
So we're very fortunate. It rained Thursday morning prior to the Pro-Am, and we're a little concerned, but, you know, as it turned out, it was a nice blessing, and
here we are.
Knock on wood, we're still doing good.
Okay. So at the top of the leaderboard, Jun Won Park. Didn't he get married after winning last year?
I am not sure.
Okay.
But he is the defending champion as well, and playing well. He also shot 65 in the Pro-Am. You know, their professional scores didn't count, but he was keeping score, and I saw his scorecard, and I thought, wow, he shot 65, and
yeah.
The pins were pretty neutral, so to speak, and yesterday he matched it again, so he's, really enjoys Pro Country Club and making a move again.
He's on the Korean professional tour.
Correct.
Okay. Then we have TJ Kua. He's tied for second with Gregory Meyer. Gregory Meyer has been playing on the Japan professional tour for so many years. Isn't he a Champions Tour player yet?
Yes, he is of the great golden era age.
How many times did he win this event?
Gregory is a four-time champion.
A four-time champion.
So, and Greg was assistant pro out here at one point and had pursued his playing career in Japan and played the regular tour. He's on the Japan Senior Tour now and lives in Osaka.
Yeah.
So we don't get to see him too often anymore, but always happy to have him home. TJ, Kauai.
Kauai boy.
Yeah. David's nephew.
Yeah, they have a lot of bunkers on Kauai, so he should be very comfortable here. And David's nephew, so he's got some inside track. But nothing was given to TJ. He earned it all the way, right?
Absolutely.
I was thinking about those sponsor exemption forms that David goes through. TJ doesn't get that.
He's exempt. He earned his way.
He earned his way on. Thank you. Jonathan Oda.
John Oda, Moanalua High School.
Another Moanalua High School, like Tad Fujikawa, who won here one year.
Yeah,
yes.
And if people remember, John tied Mr. Park last year after the 54-hole regulation play ended, and they went to a two-hole playoff and lost on the second hole, but also won low amateur last year.
So he's a defending low amateur, and
Correct.
Here he is up tied for six. We have Nick Mason in the field. We talked about Nick earlier. John Ellis is
a former champion,
right? With David Ishii, Nathan Lashley, and Jesse Mueller. I feel like the entire West Coast is tied for 16th. Joining David.
Yeah, so Nick's at 69, and in that group of 69, there's a couple, Shinichi Yokota, former champion, Han Lee, who won on the regular Japanese tour last year, been supporting our tournament for the last few years, and Steve Schneider from Utah, who is a former national PGA, what do they call it, PGA Club?
Club Pro. But he won his championship.
Yeah, he was a national PGA Club Pro champion.
He's a PGA professional here. He shouldn't be asking me these questions.
In that group of, in the group of 70, besides former champions David and Jesse, Masamichi Ito, who's been playing this tournament since he was 12 as an amateur, this is his first professional event, and he's trying to get onto the Japanese professional tour.
He's been playing this event since he was 12.
And
how old is
17 now?
Oh, he's in all of 17
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he's senior statesman.
It's great to watch the kids, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they just, as they grow up, they grow into the game, and they get more and more proficient. We're going to be talking with Ryan Harrington, senior writer, Golf World. He specializes in the collegiate world and amateur. So it's fun that to see how many young, well, what they've become professionals, but they start off as amateurs, and they work their way up to are really difficult. This is a very challenging course with a challenging field with excellent golfers. They come up against the guys who've got a lot of experience. They learn from these people that they're paired with. And then, of course, they can watch their own age group and the challenges they face, the mistakes the youngsters make.
I think so. They can see the it's an interesting field because a lot of old-time professionals and younger players, and getting back to our founder's vision, he saw that having golfers network, you know, using a modern term, I guess, but back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Back in the old days.
You know, a goodwill event, having golfers through golf bond from different cultures, different areas, meeting up in Hawaii at the Hawaii Pro Open. And 35 years later, here we are. It's a great field.
And it's a great purse. I mean, we have $77,500 in cash awards. Amateurs are going for the $3,660 in merchandise certificates. The winner takes home $12,000 first place prize.
Yes, he does, or she does. And also this year, in memory of excuse me, Mr. Ogata, there's a 500,000 yen bonus to the low professional, as well as we'll also on Sunday have a closest to the pin contest on the 18th hole, second shot, so the gallery can sit right behind the green and watch some of that closest to the hole action. The pros are also playing for 500,000 yen. I think $5,600 in change in today's exchange rate. And the amateurs have their own contest for a gift certificate since they can't win cash. So quite exciting. But
I see Guy Yamamoto, operations manager here at Pearl Country Club. He's got an earpiece so that he can keep up with everything that's going on the course in case there are questions. He's got the headset on so he can be on the show with me. And he has another show waiting for him. I think we're going to let you get away for a little while, and you'll come back, and
okay,
we'll talk about the demo day. There's a huge demo day probably want to take advantage of tomorrow. Right here, it's everything, all the latest and the greatest that you've been seeing on television.
A lot of those adjustable clubs.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And new colors.
And new colors. Colors. Ooh, clubs. Pretty, pretty.
Nice.
I love the tools of the trade.
Yeah,
yes.
Nice red and orange drivers this year.
Without naming names. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Waipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played.
Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
I'm 9 now, but when I was 8, I'd do things I wasn't supposed to.
You don't talk when people are putting.
Always repair the ball mark.
You keep your own score, so you have to know how to act. And you gotta tell the truth.
Put a golf club in kids' hands and watch them grow.
If you do certain things that you're not supposed to, you get a shot at a tier score. You don't want to do those things.
The first tee teaches kids values that will impact their communities and the rest of their lives.
If it wasn't for golf, I'd be like my friends, a couch potato.
Visit thefirsttee.org to learn more.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome in the clubhouse. We've got the Ameri Ari Invitational. So much golf is squeezed into one weekend here in Hawaii with the first major here at the Hawaii Pearl Open overlooking the three locks of the Pearl Harbor. It's absolutely a stunning view. If you get to Hawaii, you should really play this course. It's a very, very popular course. They don't have any issues about getting enough people to play here. Very popular course, and we're bringing in a very popular man now, Ryan Harrington. He's Golf World senior writer, specializes collegiate and amateur players and the play. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Good morning, Daniel. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. How are you doing in snowed in Connecticut?
We're hanging in there. We got 30 inches of snow on the last day, so I am just kind of visualizing through your words the Pearl Open and everything going on there, and hoping that it will melt some of the snow out here before I have to go shovel. So
I'm before you have to go shovel it. Oh, I do remember. It's absolutely spectacular. The vision here. It's a cloudless, almost cloudless sky. The sun is coming up. There's dew on the grass. The golfers are putting. They're getting ready for their tee times, and it's absolutely spectacular. I just can't tell you how much I wish you were here, sitting right across from me. But since that can't happen,
how much I wish I was there.
let's pretend that you're here, and let's go to Waikoloa on the Big Island. A beautiful, beautiful morning. They had 3 days of spectacular conditions to play, and the Ameri Ari Invitational, bringing together some of the top teams. I'm looking at this, and I'm pretty impressed with how Waikoloa and the Ameri Ari brings the teams. What do you think of this event from a completely, you know, I'm, of course, subjective. Tell us what you think of this event.
No, I think it's a fantastic event. It's a great start to the spring for a lot of programs. I know it's a great reward for a lot of the teams. You know, most of the marquee teams in the country do make a trip each year to Hawaii. It's a kind of a treat for the players to get to do that. But this event brings together some of the best in the country. It had, I believe, of the top 10 in our Golf World College rankings. They came down to the wire against two of the best teams in the country, UCLA and Washington, with UCLA pulling it out in a playoff yesterday. So, yeah, I think it's one of the big events that a lot of teams look forward to. And it's a great barometer to see where your team stands as you get the spring season rolling.
Speaking of that, UCLA and Washington, UCLA's number 5 ranked with the Golf World Nike coaches poll. Washington is number 7. Now, number 1 did not come, California, correct? They're got unanimous?
Yep, exactly. They will actually play in another tournament, the John Burns Intercollegiate in Hawaii, in a couple weeks here.
Okay. Now, we also had number 2, Texas. They came in tied for 4th with Southern California, ranked 8, and Georgia Tech, ranked number 9. What I found interesting was number 3. Who is TCU, and why did I not see them on the ranking?
TCU only played twice in the fall. They actually had a very thin schedule. They've got a player on their team. Their best player is from France. His name is Julien Brun, who actually won a Challenge Tour event as an amateur last fall. And because he was playing in the World Amateur last fall, they didn't schedule a lot of their tournaments. They decided to backload their schedule, if you will, and play a lot in the spring. So without a whole lot of competition, they weren't ranked in our final fall poll here. But they've got a very good player, a guy who obviously won a pro event on the Challenge Tour over in Europe. And they started off very well. They actually beat California. They finished 2nd at the first spring tournament of the year, Arizona Intercollegiate. California actually lost. It was their first loss of the year for California. So TCU's got a very strong team, and they played well again, obviously, this last weekend.
Oh, great, because I was wondering, I went through the list of the individuals. Dominic Bozzelli of Auburn won as an individual player with a score 70, 68, 67, 205. And two strokes back, Hawaii's, I have to say that, David Fink. I've been following this young man for a long, long time. He's come up through junior golf and now playing at Oregon State with Trevor Simsby of Washington. But as I was going through all of these names, I realized, of course, looking at the 2013 Palmer Cup player rankings, there are a lot of really talented players that were here in Hawaii that people may not realize could be playing on the Palmer Cup. And like and Pontus Widegren is one name that I went. Pontus Widegren, interesting, a Swede playing at UCLA. And one of the top players from Team Europe. Tell me about it.
Now, the field individually as well as team-wise was obviously very, very strong. A South African named Brandon Stone finished T4. Dominic Bozzelli, that was his third career win. He's won some pretty big events before from Auburn. Cody Gribble from Texas, who was on the national championship team last year. And then Pontus, like you said, he's played on the Palmer Cup team for Europe a couple times. He's the top player right now for UCLA. He's replacing Patrick Cantlay, who a lot of people might remember, obviously a talented amateur who was the runner-up at the U.S. Amateur Championship, played well in the U.S. Open, and he turned pro this last year. So Pontus has kind of got the responsibility of being the leader of that team right now, and then he helped them to the team title here. So it is impressive. I mean, I think as you watch the PGA Tour the last few weeks and even last year, and you see some of these young up-and-coming players playing so well, Russell Henley, obviously, over at the Sony Open, I think it gives you a glimpse of what's to come. And there's more in the pipeline here. The college ranks right now are very, very deep with a lot of talented players that I think you're going to see playing pro golf here in the near future and doing well.
Who are you watching in particular that you think will be the next person to go professional, to leave, not necessarily before they finish college, but is really on the fast track to the PGA Tour, web.com?
Sure. You know, there's a player out of Washington, Chris Williams. He was tied for third going into the final round at the Amirari event here, and unfortunately had a poor final round. But he's the number one ranked amateur player in the world. He, because of that ranking, he's going to get into both the U.S. Open and the British Open this summer. And he's a senior. He graduates at the end of the semester here. And I think he's going to be the next guy that we should really watch for. I think he's got a lot of talent. You know, besides just being a good ball striker, he's got a really good mental makeup. And I think, you know, that what I find when I watch the college ranks right now is you see a lot of guys who are very talented, obviously, who have great swings and can hit the ball a mile and all those kind of things. But it's the distance between the ears, and that really, I think, separates some of these guys and whether they're mentally ready to go play at the professional level. And I see Chris being one of those ones that we're going to see turn it around pretty early and be a factor in pro golf at some point down the road.
Interesting. What about the youngsters, the young men who decided to leave college and turn professional before they finish their game? Do you think that's a good idea?
You know, there's a couple different schools of thought. I think a lot of people believe that once you turn pro, once you become a professional, that you're going to have to learn to play the pro game, that there is a difference, that playing for money, playing for your job is different than playing in amateur events and kind of getting your head kicked in a little bit as a pro is an important thing to go through before you have success at the pro level. Other people, and I find myself in this, say, I think the amateur game actually gives you a really good test. You learn how to win out there, and if you can learn how to win out there, it makes that transition all the more easy. Look at a couple players who jumped right from college golf to the web.com tour last year, Luke Guthrie from Illinois and Ben Coles from Virginia. Both of them, immediately after they turned pro, actually won web.com events, won enough money to actually get their PGA Tour cards without even having to go to Q school. And they're both PGA Tour pros this year. I think you're seeing that the talent level and the competition level at the amateur ranks is strong enough where you're learning to win, you're learning that grinding it out there, how to close out a tournament well enough that you can make that transition to the pros. So I think from a jumping early standpoint, I think you can learn just as much in college as you can at the pro level in some of these mini-tours. So I'd be a little hesitant to go unless you absolutely know you're ready to make that next-level jump.
Yeah, it was interesting to see Jordan Spieth decide to go. I was surprised at that. Were you?
You know, I think, yes, I was a little surprised from the standpoint of he tried to go through Q school as an amateur, and he didn't get through the second stage. And so he doesn't have a card on any pro tour. And
yeah.
So not having that kind of, at least kind of something to fall back to, it's hard to then make it as a professional. You're going to have to get sponsors exemptions into events. You're going to have to play well when you get those sponsors exemptions in order to be able to continue on here. And obviously with the security of college golf, with another semester under his belt there, you know, you could say that was a safer route. But he decided to go for, I think he's got an agent who thinks he can get into some events here. He's playing this weekend at Pebble Beach. He played earlier this year at Torrey Pines. If he can play well enough in those events and kind of build some momentum, then it was a good thing to turn pro at this point in time. But it was a little bit of a risky situation for him. He's a very talented player. I have no doubt one day he's going to be a very successful PGA Tour pro. But I think going at this early stage, you could question it a little bit, yeah.
All right. I just thought, wow, really? No card, and you're just going to jump out there? Wow, that's ballsy.
it takes some guts, definitely, and some belief in your talent. You know, he signed, actually, an endorsement deal with Under Armour, so I think he's a marketable player. Obviously, he was a Walker Cup player in the United States. He's a good-looking guy. He's one of these athletic kids who really looks like he's going to be a strong player. He has a great pedigree. He's played very well in the U.S. Amateur. He's played on the national championship team at Texas. So he had a lot going for him, obviously. But at the same time, it's a risk, definitely.
Absolutely. Great talking with you. Ryan Harrington, senior writer, Golf World, College Amateur Golf. Love reading you. It's great reading all the you've got Golf World Monday, Golf World Preview. I watch your what is it, Google Plus, when you do the interviews with the different writers?
We've been doing some of those, too. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Well, I've been anxious to get on. All my colleagues have gotten on the program here a lot, and I was hoping to get on with you at some point, so thanks for having me.
Well, we'll do it again. I mean, you know, this is just the start.
Very good. No, I'm going to live vicariously through you in Hawaii here, so absolutely. I'm more than willing to come on. I love talking about college golf because I really do think you get a great snapshot of what you're going to see down the road.
Okay, well, the next time you're on, we're going to have to figure out what we can do to get Hawaii. I mean, Hawaii Hilo is ranked in Division II, but we got to get University of Hawaii ranked. We got to what to do to get more players, you know, and get the rankings up. What do we got to do here in Hawaii? Thank you so much. I mean, we play here 365 days out of the year. So
junior program there, too. You're right. It should be pretty good.
It should be. All right. So thanks so much for being on the show. We'll talk soon.
Take care now.
Aloha. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Waipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Before I joined the first tee, the only sport I ever did was surfing channels.
I used to get C's and D's. Now I'm planning for a BA in history.
I've learned a lot at the first tee. I even learned how to play golf.
Put a golf club in a young person's hands and watch them grow. At the first tee, we instill values like confidence, judgment, respect, and integrity. Values they learn from golf but take with them for the rest of their lives.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
It's the Golf Club.
visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor link. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back. We're at beautiful. I should have an office here all the time. I'm sitting overlooking Pearl Harbor. You know, there are three locks to Pearl Harbor, if you didn't know. There's the West Lock, East Lock, Central Lock, and, of course, the Navy has all of those locks. And I'm looking at this gigantic golf ball. It's huge, and it's parked in the middle of Pearl Harbor. And I'm saying to myself, everybody wonders, what in the world is that gigantic golf ball sitting in the middle of Pearl Harbor? Well, it's a very sophisticated listening device. It knows everything in the world, probably listening right now. It watches everything, radar, usually sails out and goes into the ocean to investigate whatever it does investigate. After President Obama, for instance, leaves, but it's still here. I'm thinking Korea, you know, Korea. Got to keep an eye on things. We're keeping an eye on the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, and over there right now, not only are the celebrities having the time of their lives, and the professionals are working hard at their craft and having fun, too, I bet you. The Sea Otters are just playing along with everything and having a good old time. And Todd Lewis, reporter, anchor, commentator, Golf Channel, a single-digit handicapper, by the way. He's going to join us now to tell us what's happening at the AT&T Pro-Am. Welcome to the show, Todd Lewis.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. Excellent. I'm at the Pearl Open. It's a fabulous day. This is the 35th. They brought together East and West, the man who founded Honda Motor, Shoichiro Honda. He wanted to foster goodwill between the two different sides of the world, kind of a visionary, I think, of him. And we've got many visionaries in the world of golf from around the world. I was thinking about Pard Erdman. He is the owner of Ulupalakua Ranch. He is a member, I believe, over at Cypress Point. He's played in the Pro-Am many, many, many years. He was mentioned this morning on Morning Drive. I think Charlie Reimer got to play with him. A wonderful, wonderful person. That's the kind of people, they go and play in the Pro-Am and have a great time playing with these top professionals that you're with right now, Todd Lewis, Golf Channel. But why do the, these guys are also, they have enough money to just go play the Pebble Beach all by themselves with a group of three guys, you know, and they don't have TV cameras all over them. Why do they go and do this?
Well, first off, I mean, you're right. They have money. They can do just about whatever they want. Play in this event is just prestigious. I mean, the history dating back to Mr. Crosby and the Clam Bake. Not only that, I mean, they want to measure their game against the intense competition of other guys kind of on their same level and guys who they, you know, admire. They want to play beside the professionals to see what it's like. And they kind of like the cameras pointing at them as well. You know, there's going to be a lot of celebrities out there today. You know, it is a little bit of an ego thing, but of course, if they didn't have an ego and they weren't driven, they wouldn't be so high up in the corporate ladder as they are now. So, I mean, it is a relaxing, fun environment, but, I mean, they will show some nerve. They do get a little jittery out there. They're not quite comfortable as much as they would be in a boardroom. Let's just put it that way.
Okay, I totally get it. I mean, I'm watching, and I do watch Morning Drive because I'm up early to do my job, my weekday job, and this poor gentleman is stuck in the bunker, and Golf Channel is capturing every moment of him attempting to come out of the bunker, and Paula Creamer is in studio, and she's saying, you know, I think he should give up the game. And I'm thinking to myself, this poor man is going to forever hear about this from all of his buddies, you know. But
he loves it. I mean, it may seem awfully embarrassing to him, but, you know, if he's out here playing in this event, and he may not be hitting the best shot, but that's a snapshot that will be with him for the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's true, right? So, okay, so yeah. After today, the top 16
embarrassing
tied.
Not.
Embarrassing or not, right? And you know, that's the beauty of golf, right? I mean, you can go out and embarrass yourself, and as long as you keep your temper in check, everything's cool.
Absolutely. That's why I always look around when I'm playing golf or I'm at an event and make sure there are no cameras pointing at me. Because the golf channel.
Have you really? Because you know they would use that from now until the end of time. Every time you were on morning drive. Yeah. Now, after today, the top 60 and ties make the cut?
Correct.
What happens to the professionals? So is today the last celebrity day?
No. What happens is it's a pro-am team format. So they have a professional, and then you have an amateur, and the amateur, of course, uses their handicap. They play three courses. They play Pebble Beach, which you'll see today generally on CBS. They play Spyglass Hill, which is not far from Pebble Beach, and Monterey Peninsula Country Club. And each player and each team will play those courses all three, or the first 3 days. They rotate. And then the final round will be the top 16 tie professionals all playing at Pebble Beach. And if the pro-am team makes it, if the team makes it, then they'll be playing alongside as well. So you'll see amateurs playing tomorrow, too. So there'll be a big professional cut and an amateur cut after today.
Okay. All right. And then we're going to see.
I hope I didn't confuse anyone there.
No. You know, after going through the waste management, the excitement of that and the focus of the waste management, then going back to three different courses, for the average viewer, I mean, I follow golf, obviously, all the time. So, but for the average viewer, the reason I ask these questions is kind of to explain it to people because it's, what am I watching? I can't follow, you know, I don't know really what's happening. Where is everybody? I think
that's what they're doing. Exactly.
Yeah, got it. And I think we all have a much better understanding now. You sent out some great tweets. You can follow Todd Lewis. He's Golf Channel anchor, commentator, a reporter. He's at Todd Lewis. GC.
Yeah, GC.
At Todd Lewis GC. So, and it's two D's. And he's so much fun. That one picture that you sent us of the coastline with the sea otters, that somebody said Golf Channel should just put a camera and just leave it on the sea otters.
Wouldn't that be riveting TV? Watch that otter go down and get whatever he gets to eat. I think it's fish or maybe scallops and oysters too. I would watch that.
I know.
I would flip back and forth between the Otter Channel and the Golf Channel.
It's because see what the otters are doing while that guy tries to get out of the bunker. Or maybe it's more fun watching him try to get out of the bunker. Some of the celebrities who are there, seriously, one of them, and I really got to hand it to him, 49ers Jim Harbaugh playing with Jason Day. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, Jim Harbaugh, I mean, he's playing. First off, I talked to both Jim Harbaugh and Jason Day yesterday, and Jason told me that Jim had not picked up a golf club in the last 9-10 months, and he and Jason came out and shot 61, and they are leading the pro-am division, which is remarkable for a couple of reasons. One, if you consider Jim Harbaugh, less than a week ago, was coaching his team in the biggest sporting event in the country, some say the world, at the Super Bowl, and then to lose in a heartbreaking way like his team did. And knowing him, that, you know, he's so intense in anything he does, and have to carry that loss around for a week and still come out here and perform and play very, very well, it's pretty remarkable. I interviewed him yesterday, and I'm not kidding. I don't really know him that well, and just basically covering him professionally. I brought up the loss in the Super Bowl, and I was so nervous that he was going to take my microphone and use it as a device to give me a colonoscopy. So luckily he wasn't. He was really, really nice. So he's like a good guy, and having a lot of fun with Jason today. And Jason is as well.
But, you know, I understand exactly the fear. You know, oh, my God, what is his reaction? I've got to ask the question, but I don't know what he's going to do to me next.
Well, I mean, he's got this look on his face. It's borderline, you know, serial killer. So you just kind of were surviving the interview, and I did. And as a matter of fact, another awkward moment is I had to interview just this morning. Actually, it's about to come on Golf Channel or Golf Central right now. And interview Wayne Gretzky.
Oh.
Wayne Gretzky is playing with Dustin Johnson. And Dustin Johnson is dating Wayne Gretzky's daughter, Paulina. As a matter of fact, their relationship kind of came to light at Kapalua when Paulina was there spotted with him, and they were frolicking in the waves, and paparazzi was out because Paulina is some kind of a celebrity. She's a model, actress, a singer. So I had to say, well, interview Wayne. Wayne, what's it like playing golf with a guy who is dating his daughter? You know, that kind of awkward kind of moment there, but he was gracious and talked about it. So
he was gracious.
Good story. Sorry?
He was gracious?
Oh, he was, yeah, quite gracious. Yeah, he was nice.
He didn't pull out the shotgun and say, "I've got the shotgun ready in case that boy comes back over here."
Well, see, the good thing about that is that Wayne is an avid, passionate golfer. And I'm trying to figure out if he likes Dustin as Dustin or if he likes Dustin because he can hit the ball 350 yards. So, well, yeah, that's something for Wayne Gretzky to answer.
Okay, beautiful moments. The insight is fantastic, but I got to ask you another question about one of the, you know, some of this is more interesting than the pros. I certainly hope Brant Snedeker, I have no opinion, okay? No opinion. But I hope Brant Snedeker pulls it off this week.
I can't help but hope. I mean, several times. I'm expecting big things from Brant Snedeker this year, and he's not disappointing early on. I mean, I think Brant Snedeker is going to win a major championship in 2013. Here's why I think that. Now, I've covered Brant for a number of years now. He's got four victories. His first three victories have been come-from-behind wins on Sunday. I'm talking 5-6 shot differentials made up on Sunday. Last year at East Lake at the Tour Championship, he had the 54-hole lead and he had to hang on to that lead. This was for him to get the victory. And he had Rory McIlroy, all these great players, Tiger Woods in the field at the Tour Championship. And he held up under that intensely white spotlight, white hot spotlight. And that proved to himself, you know what, I can finish. I don't have to come from behind. And that being said, I think he's got a great, great, great amount of confidence right now. He's one of the best putters on the PGA Tour, which is such a valuable weapon at a major championship. Because when you're putting well, you can knock in 15, 20 footers for par after, you know, missing a shot or two on a hole. So valuable. And an even-keeled temperament. I'm really expecting some big things from him this year. I think, personally, he's going to win more than Tiger Woods this year. And Tigers are
Ooh. Okay. Okay, so we're going to keep an eye on Brant Snedeker this year. Finally, how is the Spectator? Any word on the Spectator who got the shot in the head from Condi Rice?
I didn't see that, but I heard that. But the buzz in the newsroom is that she's okay. I don't believe there's a lawsuit in the making, so that's good news for her. She just got a little knot on the noggin. No necessary trips to the emergency room, so things are okay out here for her and for Condi and for the tournament.
Okay, good. I mean, when I heard that, I understand that Condi gave her the phone number. Here's my number. Call me. I mean, how can you, take care of somebody while you're in the midst of a tournament that you've just hit over the head? A glove is not going to do it.
No, I'm sure she's got people that will handle that.
Yeah, these guys, I'm sure you're absolutely right. Todd Lewis, Golf Channel, great having you on the show. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Absolutely fabulous. And we'll talk again soon, I hope.
Okay.
Todd Lewis, you can see him on Golf Central probably any second now. He's got talking to all the professionals, all the celebrities, and he's got the perfect otter cam view. Check him out on Twitter, Todd Lewis, GC. Okay? You'll enjoy his tweets. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens.
Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poi Pu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poi Pu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom-and-pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Welcome back. The sun is coming out. It's a gorgeous view, the blue of Pearl Harbor, the green of the Pearl Country Club. The sky a little bit hazy. I don't know. Pele, you know, the volcano continues to erupt. We get a little bit of what we call vog over here. It's just all the particulates from that eruption that gets blown up and across the island chain. They even have, you know how there's the radar view of where the rain is? You see the precipitation, and the weatherman puts it up, or the weather girl, and she says, and here you can see the rain. They have one of those for the vog now, so that they can show you where the vog is. Well, see, it's blown out to sea, so it's sitting over there. It's that big, big cloud over there. And when the south wind blows, oh, it's coming at us. Well, sometimes it does. It's interesting when the vog hits. It kind of looks like L.A., not China. But downtown Los Angeles on a mediocre day, and on a really bad day, although sometimes we're speaking of the Big Island because we're joined now by Kevin Ginosa, the head professional at Waikoloa King's Course. Well, that's where the Ameriari was played, where the collegiate teams from across the country, mostly on the West Coast, came to visit and really enjoy spring. Because, well, actually, they're on the West Coast, so it's not that cold, but it does get chilly. Kevin Ginosa, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. I want to do something really, really quick. I want to know if Chaz can tell me when that jet is going to take off. That Hawaiian Airlines jet, it's bound for any place you want to go that Hawaiian flies, whether it's San Jose, Sacramento, San Diego, Los Angeles, Seattle, San Francisco. Going to San Francisco, if you win, like John Neely did, you will get 4 nights in the Palace Hotel, San Francisco, a luxury collection hotel. And you'll fly on Hawaiian Airlines there and back. 4 wonderful days in San Francisco. On us, because we're celebrating our anniversary, it's the flyaway contest. So, you know, when you hear the jet, all you have to do is dial 808-296-5467. Now get this. If you're in a ninth caller, you're qualified. And then out of, I think we're doing 36 qualifiers this time. First time was 18, and John Neely got in. 1 in 18 has pretty good odds. 1 in 36 isn't bad either. So this is our consolation prize. It's the same prize, just more people get into it, just as so they get chance. All right, so when you hear that jet, you know the number to call, 808-296-5467. How was the competition over at Waikoloa King's Course? It was awesome. You had ties. You had amazing, really close. Kevin Ginosa.
It was absolutely a great event out here at Waikoloa Beach Resort over at the King's Course. Yeah, we ended up with a team tie. So we had Washington, UCLA actually tied up 22 under. So, was a pretty cool event where we had we did a team playoff where teams instead of games over, this will happen in UCLA on top of their
I think, you know, Kevin, we're breaking up, and I'm having a very difficult time hearing you. Is it possible that you could call back? It's very difficult. I don't want to lose you because the competition between the two teams was amazing. And then you had the I wanted to talk to you about how the playoff went. How does that play between UCLA and Washington? They were T1, and then there was the playoff. TCU was playing Georgia Tech, Southern Cal, Texas, Stanford, Auburn, Oklahoma State, Arizona State. Fabulous field. Hawaii Hilo and Hawaii, of course, in there as well. Osaka Gakuin University came over. UC Davis, Oregon State, David Fink tied 2 for individual play. I just want to see if we have a better connection.
How's about this? Can you hear me better?
I can hear you better now, yeah.
Okay, let's try that all day.
You're so cool. Thank you very much. So tell us, with the UCLA-Washington tie, how was that broken?
You know, we did a team playoff, and since there's five players per team, it's the best four scores of the five. So, you know, we ended up with UCLA and Washington out on the 17th hole. All the spectators were out there, and just so happened, UCLA came up with 4 pars. Washington came up with 3 pars and a bogey. So, you know, it was, UCLA won the playoff right there.
Wow. That having all those guys on the same hole playing, is that how it went?
Yeah, they actually went up in 2 groups, so, 2 UCLA, 3 Washington, and then the second group was 3 UCLA and 2 Washington. So, you know, it was great, good to see everybody get out there and see some adrenaline going there.
Yeah. How do you get, send out invitations? How do you get the commitments from these top schools across the country to come and play?
You know, that's where, you know, Coach Earl Tamia has done just a super job out here. And being the 23rd annual out here in Waikoloa, you know, he's built great relationships and has been able to attract one of the top fields throughout the nation out here.
He certainly has. I mean, there are 2 major collegiate events that happen in the islands in the spring. There's your Amari Ari, and then there's the John A. Burns Invitational that's played on Oahu. And it's wonderful, though, to see that you had a number of the top play. You had number 2, 5, 7, 9, 8. They were all there playing. Plus, of course, Hawaii's teams, Hawaii Hilo, a ranked university now, and Hawaii UH was playing, and CSU Stanislaus was playing. I want to mention everybody. Don't want to leave anybody out. But tell us how Osaka Gakuin University gets in.
You know, I think it's just one of the relationships that, you know, Coach Okami has built over the years. And, you know, Osaka has always been a great a participant of the event. I know in the past we had Nagoya participated, so it's always good to get a, you know, kind of a foreign university in there as well.
Yeah, and that's part of our East meets West, which is, you know, I'm right here at the Hawaii Country Club, and it's the Hawaii Pearl Open, Pearl Country Club. That's where I am. I'm not at the Hawaii Country Club. Sorry about that. I'm at the Pearl Country Club, but it's the Hawaii Pearl Open. It was created 35 years ago by the Honda Motor Company founder, Joichiro Honda, and the whole idea was to foster goodwill between the 2 different sides of the Pacific Ocean, between the East and the West Coast of the United States and Asia. And he brought together, now we have the defending champ is Jeonwon Park. He's on the Korean tour, and we have so many of the Japan professionals playing, and we have Guy Yamamoto is going to join us in a couple of minutes. He started playing in this event. Imagine, he's now the operations manager here at Pearl. He played in this event when he was 17. He said he was playing against Lance Suzuki, and a Japan PGA professional, and he was all nerves, shaking. At 17, I can only imagine. Kevin Ginoza is head professional at Waikoloa Resort, and at the King's Course, they played the Ameri Ari. He's with us to talk about the conditions. What were the conditions like? What was the course playing like? Was it fast and firm? It's a Scottish. Tell us a little bit about how that course was developed, because it's kind of unique, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, out here in the lava fields, you know, the King's Course is about 20 years old, built right on a lava field. So it's a Scottish Lake South course, a lot of adjacent fairways, pretty open, and just so happened the winds were actually pretty light over the tournament days. So, you know, I think all the fair, all the players were under nice fair conditions. It was great scoring conditions, no excuses out there.
I like how you said that, no excuses out there. I thought the first day was a little on the windy side. I guess everything tapered off with those. You had winter weather conditions at the top of Mauna Kea, Mauna Loa. Could you see snow from Waikoloa?
No snow out here yet. But I know in the practice round, yeah, we're under some wind advisories. But then by the time we hit the first round, start of first round, it was actually perfect conditions.
Perfect. What do you do to the course to make it more difficult? Do you grow the rough?
You know, for us, it's definitely getting the greens back in shape. We had it rolling about 10 to 11 on the centimeter. You know, difficult the in play strength out there. We try to set up the course as fair as we can for it and make sure it's a good test of golf. And I think we did. We got the scoring averages right about the 73, 72. You know, it played just right.
Great seeing David Fink doing so well, Oregon State. Did you get a chance to talk to him afterwards?
No, you know, unfortunately I missed him, but he was definitely out there. He played I think he had some good, consistent rounds, and just so happened, you know, finished two behind. So, you know, congrats to him, and, you know, I look forward to him having a great future in the spring.
Absolutely. And Lawrence Chan on the you know, one of the winning teams, so to speak. Did you talk to Lawrence?
No, I saw him during the team playoff, and he looked a little nervous, but then great experience, and good to see the local guys out here with the big boys playing well.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, it's great talking with you, and I wish I were at the Waikoloa Kings course one day soon to play, because all I hear is great things about your course.
Great. Look forward to seeing you out here.
Thank you very much, Kevin Ginoza, head professional, Waikoloa. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Hit a rock and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
And welcome back to the clubhouse. It's a fabulous, you know, things are really rocking around the world. I mean, on the nor'easter up on the New England states and all the, 38 inches of snow in some places. Amazing. And I just got word that there was another earthquake. This was in Colombia, off of Colombia this morning, but no tsunami expected. We've just been getting all kinds of things between the Solomon Islands, and this is certainly the rim of fire, isn't it? Yeah, so the good news is there was no destructive tsunami generated that's going to impact at least Hawaii. We're at the beautiful Pearl Country Club. It is the Hawaii Pearl Open, and one of my favorite people is about to join us. This man takes care of this course and keeps it in the kind of condition that makes everybody just want to come and play it all the time. His name is Howard Hamada, and he is with us this morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Daniel.
Absolutely.
Nice to see you again.
It's good to see you. And what do you do? How do you keep these greens in such spectacular condition? You're right on the ocean, practically.
Thank you. Well, we have some very good workers that work for us, though.
What kind of grass is it?
Bermuda.
It's Bermuda, but it's, I mean, it looks like a carpet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you cut it? How do you cut it and keep it so nice?
Well, we have good mechanics and good machines.
Do you cross cut?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
For put a term in. We cross cut the greens. Sometimes we have to triple cut them. But some of the greens we have contamination with a different grass, Zoysia. And fortunately, it's a different growth habit, so we have to cut it a little bit more.
Keep it under control.
Yeah.
Does that one? What was the name of that again?
It's a Zoysia. It's a contamination that we inherited.
Yeah, I love how you say that. How did you inherit that?
I guess through the years. Well, I heard they planted it in areas to have grass because some areas didn't grow, and it's just began to spread all over the place. So we're finding it on the greens, on the teas.
It's a healthy one of those weed-like creatures, isn't it?
Yes.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't care where it just grows. I wish those delicate grasses would have that kind of. That's why I guess they develop the seashore pass palum and what have you, right?
Yes.
So that it would have that kind of tenacity. And
well, it grows good in certain places where they can't. They don't have good water to irrigate.
Yeah.
So it thrives in those areas, and Bermuda doesn't do well in sultry conditions.
Yeah, and we're just hot. Are you just far enough back of the water?
Yes, we have good water here, so that helps to grow Bermuda.
Bermuda grass. And the places you were talking about, I know when the floods come down, there have been a couple of years when we've had the torrential rains for the Hawaii Pearl Open.
Oh, yeah.
Are those steep inclines, are those the places where you have tough keeping the grass growing up in there?
No.
What do you do for that?
It's pretty good over here. The torrential rains that we have is just every season we face it. So I guess over the years it's been able to acclimate to these kind of heavy rains.
Heavy rains, okay. What time does your crew get out in the morning to come and get everything ready?
We start at 4 o'clock. And then we have a split shift, so another crew comes in at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and they cut the fairways. And
how late do they stay?
They stay till 8.
Oh, okay, so there's a couple hours where nobody's here on course.
Yes.
Have you ever had to go through, when the weather's been bad, like a 18-hour day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
But that was last year, I think, and then we shut down. Postpone or cancel the event.
Yeah, and then coming back and taking care of everything is...
Yeah, that was...
It's a challenge.
It's a very big challenge. I can imagine on the tour what those guys go through when they have twice as much traps as we do, because the traps are the big job, you know, to put it up again and get it all drained.
Getting it out, yeah, taking care of it.
Yeah.
We just got our winner. We're doing a flyaway contest for it's the anniversary flyaway, and from Hawaiian Airlines, we've got two round trips for two that we're giving away. So John Neely already won the first trip to San Francisco.
Did I win the second?
Yeah. You can call in and qualify, just like our first qualifier, Ryan of Eva Beach. I just wanted to let everybody know that we've got our first qualifier. We'll get our second qualifier later in the show. And, of course, once you go to San Francisco, you're going to need to stay somewhere. We're not going to put you on the sidewalk. No, we're going to have you stay in the beautiful, the Palace Hotel San Francisco, a luxury collection hotel. So we're going to be talking with those folks. They're going to come on the show and tell us about the hotel. It has a really great history. How long have you been working, Howard Hamada, the superintendent at the Pearl Country Club? How long have you been here?
March would be 30 years.
30 years?
Yes.
And what kind of changes have happened here? What have you done to change the place?
Well, mostly to improve the drainage. I guess, as you said earlier, it rains here a lot. So that was our priority, to make sure that we don't have any standing water and stuff, and make the course playable under tournament conditions for wet conditions.
They have those really fancy contraptions that they put underneath some of the bunkers on the mainland so that they drain really easy. What can you do without that? I mean, that must be very expensive, isn't it?
The sub-air?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't think many places can afford that.
Yeah, right, exactly. What do you do? What is affordable to get bunkers to drain?
There's new types of liners now, and I guess those part of part of the design of the liner is to incorporate a gravel drain underneath, and so it's pretty good now. But we don't have it here. It's on the expensive side too.
All of it is, right? Because once something is built, and then you have to take it out of service.
I know Wylie has it. They have good traps.
That's why they couldn't take that water. What was it, 2 years ago when they had water all over the place and they were waiting and waiting?
Yeah.
It's the same year, I think, that Pearl, it was maybe last year when the Hawaii Pearl Open had to be postponed, mm-hmm. right? So how have you fixed, you said one of your, you know, you wanted to stop it from being an issue, standing water. How did you fix the bunkers without spending all that money?
Oh, we had volunteers to come in and put up the sand. The early morning before the tournament, and that's all we could do because we don't have very good drainage, and we have pumps, and we have to pump out the water. That's all we could do.
That's great. I mean, that shows how many volunteers come to help you. You have your regular crew, and then you supplement it.
Yeah, we have about six volunteers, including Guy Yamamoto.
Guy Yamamoto, who's now subbing as cameraman. Why don't you sit down and put a headset on, Guy? Guy does everything. He's a golfer and he's a assistant groundskeeper during tournament play. So you put him to work then?
He came up and volunteered.
Wow, so you have six volunteers. And what's your staff like? 14 guys on staff.
Yes, 14.
So 20. That's still a lot of work for 20 men.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, if I want to become a superintendent of golf at a golf course, what do I got to do that?
Now, most of them have an agronomic degree. They go to a lot of schools on the mainland offer a good golf course superintendent programs. But, that's what you require now.
There's pretty much no starting off as a helper at a golf course and working your way up.
Well, most of the superintendents do that to get a feel of the work, and then they go to get a degree.
Okay. Okay, so we can start by starting in the as a helper, the beginner. Probably a good idea would be to volunteer during a tournament.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be a good grasp of what it's like. Yeah.
What you're going to be dealing with, the hours, because you have unusual hours, don't you?
Mm-hmm. In fact, I know Curtis Cornell, the superintendent of All Country Club, he goes to the Masters every year and works on the ground crew.
As a volunteer?
Yes, he did.
See?
That's
smart. You got to be willing. It's when I got into radio, I was in college, and I wanted to be in television. I had a job. I was the assignment editor, Channel 2, on the weekends. But I never knew how to deliver a story, so I figured if I learned to speak, I should do that in radio. So I worked in radio, but I didn't get paid. So I had three jobs. I was working on campus. I was working on the television station. I was taking my 15 credits, and I was in radio for free. But sometimes you got to do that to find out, first of all, if you like it.
If you love your work.
Yeah. If you're passionate about it, you're willing to do just about anything to make it come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So if there's any youngsters out there or oldsters, would you take an older person who wanted to? I mean,
Pearl Open, we have a lot of volunteers right now.
Yeah.
But none of them are on our crew, but we could. Yeah.
Yeah.
They would enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. And there are other tournaments. If you don't want to wait a year, you just have to start knocking on the Hawaii State Golf Association's website, maybe, and hello, I want to come and get involved. Yeah. We want to grow the game. And I think one way of growing the game is letting people know that it's possible to get involved in the game on different levels.
I believe when we went to the golf hole, Laulea, we sat with Lenore and Howard and I, and Lenore told Howard, I've got a part-time job at Pinehurst. I work on the ground crew every other weekend. And, I know she had expressed to Howard how much she really appreciates the ground crew even more ever than ever, because she does it every other weekend, cutting cups or attempting to cut cups, she said. And, but she she mows the green, and she's so afraid of scalping the fringe that, you know, she really has a greater appreciation of all superintendents and grounds crews.
I can't imagine what it would be like to go out, you know, and have it set at the wrong level. When you said attempted to
cut a cup?
Yeah.
It's quite a strenuous job. Howard will tell you.
Yeah. Do you go out and mark where the holes are going to be, Guy?
We do it by committee, yes.
You go out. And Howard, do you get to be on the committee?
No, thank goodness not.
Why wouldn't you want to be a part of that selecting process?
Most of them identify me as putting the pin there, so now I got an excuse to say I had no part of it.
I see. So you get the blame most of the time.
Yeah, I used to, yeah.
See, they say it's all Howard's fault. He chose where the pin placement's going to be. Now it's not. See, it's not really Howard's fault at all.
Yeah.
That must be interesting. It's great talking with you, Howard.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for taking the time to be on the show. I know you've got a zillion things going on, and there's pictures being taken. See, it's special that Howard Hamada is on my show. I really appreciate it. Thank you for being here.
No, thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a break and wrap up the show with Guy Yamamoto. I want to find out just about how nervous he was. He said he was nervous playing with Lance Suzuki. Do you think that would playing with Lance Suzuki when you're 17 make you nervous?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
He's a legend.
We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom-and-pop store, if you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical, across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back. Play is underway. 35th Hawaii Pearl Open, Pearl Country Club. Junwon Park is the defending champion, low amateur John Oda. And look at this. Park is in the lead, and Oda is tied for six. He is the leading amateur as well. Well, TJ Kua could be the leading amateur. Has Kua gone professional? Mr. Kua has gone professional. My goodness. These youngsters that go professional so soon, it surprises me. By the same token, the thing that really gets me is watching kids who've gone professional after being really successful as amateurs, and they've been in bunches of tournaments, and they always, you know, they're really successful. They don't get any money for it, right? It's like they're using up all their good juju. And then they turn professional, and it's like, oh, dear, I'm not winning. What happens when you turn professional and you go from that amateur status to the professional status?
I'm still on the amateur side of the slate, so I can't give personal experience, but I would imagine expectations, and you want to do your best, of course, and
you're chasing it.
Sometimes
you're chasing it because you knew you did so well as an amateur. I'm going to go get it now. I'm going to go.
And I think sometimes it's just a state of mind, and once they get comfortable, and you see some of these pros that maybe struggle a little in the beginning, and all of a sudden, you know, the light goes on or it clicks, and off they go.
Okay. Now, speaking of it clicking and off they go, when did you play your first Hawaii Pearl Open?
I started my – I played in the second – I hate to say the word second – Hawaii Pearl Open back in 1980, February of 1980. And my group – I think in 1980 – I misspoke. I think in 1980 I played with Lance Suzuki and Takaaki Kono, who was at that time maybe heading into the twilight of his professional career, but – he was a former Japan Open champion and had a fantastic short game. He also played in the Masters twice, and he, not a long hitter, very accurate, awesome short game, and he had won Crystal. When I looked in the record book later, I saw that he had won Crystal, and I didn't realize that. But at that, in 1980, all I knew was he was a good golfer and top professional, and I learned a lot that day.
You were 17.
Yeah.
At 17, we don't know history.
Correct.
You know that he's a good, you know, but you don't know all of his experiences. That's the, you know, sometimes you meet young people who take the time to ask questions, and sometimes it's better not to know.
Sometimes, yeah.
You know, Lance Suzuki, I can't, was he win this event five times?
Lance is a two-time champion.
Two-time champion.
I think he's like an eight-time mid-back open champion.
That's it.
And college All-American, first team, you know, unbelievable track record.
Exactly. And in 1980-81, he was like at the height. He was like just, and here you are, you're 17. How did you play that day?
I actually shot 74 and was very happy with my round. And, but just a little nervous, you know, trying to not get in their way. I know they're playing for money, and I definitely was nervous that day. And I remember Mr. Kono was chipping on one hole, and I was standing in his through line, in which I was standing across the pin, and he had asked me to just move to the side a little bit. And I was like oh, my God, I'm in his way, you know. And
it was a bigger deal to you than it was to him.
And,
yes.
You know, and later on, got to know him a little better. He was good friends with Alan Yamamoto, and I worked for Alan at the golf house, and he was also my teacher. So, you know, I got to play a few more rounds with him later and got to know him a little better. And, you know, a very nice gentleman. Unfortunately, he passed away last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad, you know, that we lose some of our favorite, you know, legendary golfers. But life goes on, I guess, yeah.
It's one of those, yeah. In fact, isn't this event in memory of?
President Ogata, yes. Tsugio Ogata, who had led the tournament from its inception, you know, with Mr. Honda.
He was on the ground. Mr. Honda was back and forth. Mr. Ogata was here and responsible.
He was our president of our company and, you know, tournament chairman for all those years. And with his guidance and along with Mr. Honda, they, you know, shaped the tournament. And I think after Mr. Honda passed away, Mr. Ogata took the reins and, you know, made sure that we kept our mission and stayed focused and moved forward. And for those who had never met him, Mr. Ogata is just a wonderful man, very low-key, you know, for someone of his stature, you know, he could command, you know, anything, but the humblest man, you know, come in, ask if everything's okay, and wanting to be sure that our contestants and our guests that come to watch the golf tournament were well taken care of. So, you know, we're going to miss him a lot.
Yes. Who's going to take his place?
His wife is actually the president of our company now, and she's here this year overseeing the golf tournament, so I think we're in good hands.
Good. And does his wife have a name?
Keiko Ogata.
Keiko. My aunt is Keiko.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Aunt Keiko. So that's very comfortable. It's lovely. You have a beautiful tournament here, and everybody who participates, I look around at the grounds, and I am impressed because you still have the look of the Pearl Country Club. This is the Pearl Country Club. And you come and spruce it up, and the grounds and the course is exquisite. It's like a jewel. What's changed from your perspective as a player to the, from then when you played in 1980 to now?
I think, well, nature has taken its course. The trees are a lot bigger, of course, in 30 years. But I believe the grounds crew uses equipment that, like they use a rotary mower in the rough now, and it kind of sucks the grass, makes it stand up more. You know, although I don't think the rough's a whole lot longer than 30 years ago, and I think over the years, Pearl Country Club has installed a computerized sprinkler system, so watering has become more efficient, more effective, and
that's why it's so different. I mean, I feel the differences over the past years that I've come to do the show here. I can sense that it's changed. I just don't know how.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. And I believe as technology or cultural practices have improved, you know, Howard and any superintendent, it's a continual learning process for them. And, you know, although I think Howard's very humble, you know, Howard's a man of science, but with a passion to make the golf course the best it can be. So, you know, we're so fortunate to have him.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you don't have any grow the game issues here at Pearl Country Club. You've got plenty of people who want to play here all the time.
Well, you know, we're open to the public, and we invite all comers, you know, old, young.
When's a good time to play here? I know your tee times are, you know, a premium on the weekend.
Weekends are sometimes tight. We book club, you know, bookings on the weekend, but
club play is big at Pearl Country Club.
Yeah.
And that's why I encourage you, if you had a weekday, if you could put a club together, a group of friends that could play in an afternoon or a morning before you go to work, that would be so cool.
Yeah, and the golf course is, you know, we manicure it every day, and so the only thing that's not open every day is the driving range. We got to cut the grass on Monday morning, so
really?
If you're going to come and practice and hit some balls, Monday morning it's closed. You know, and sorry if you're playing golf on Monday, you can't warm up, but we got to do some maintenance sooner or later.
Demo day is tomorrow here at Pearl Country Club, and it's from 10 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. All of the fancy equipment that you've seen, the hot list, Golf Digest is out. You can check it out and see that fancy red club that they keep showing us on
That's
television.
Right. Red, white,
yes.
Orange,
oh,
blue.
Right. Orange and blue. Okay. So, take your pick of your colors. They're all there for you. Right?
I'm, you know, David and I are alumnus of Hawaii High School, so, you know, we're kind of partial to that red club. But
school colors mean a big thing. Yeah, I understand. Okay. It's been really good having you on the
Thank
show.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you for having us here.
Oh, it's always
wonderful.
A pleasure to have you here.
Absolutely great. Thank you, Guy Yamamoto, Operations Manager, Pearl Country Club, and we're at the Hawaii Pearl Open. You can come and watch. It's free. I have 1 minute? Oh, well, I guess I should thank our sponsors. Poipu Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. Do not be intimidated. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. It's Poipu Bay Golf Course. And Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessments, you go and they come on and see what you need to do to protect your home or your business. Or your concert, or a special event like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the star team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. Thank you for your mama, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2013.